What's up, Whoa, That's Good fam? Welcome back to the Whoa, That's Good podcast. Happy Wednesday, everybody. I hope you're having a great week. It's about to get a lot better because we have a very special guest on the show. She's probably not a stranger to any of y'all, but maybe some of the things y'all are doing you haven't heard about and you need to hear about them because it is so good and so inspiring. I have Miss Kathy Lee Gifford on the show today. Welcome to the Whoa, That's Good podcast.
Oh, honey, thank you so much. And you know who, first off, who would want me to be sending all kinds of love is Miss Angie Clausen.
Aw, that's so
sweet. She loves your whole family so much. So
that is so
sweet. Love from Franklin, Tennessee, and Angie Clausen and me.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. And I love Franklin, Tennessee. You know, I lived there for 3 years. I don't live there anymore, but it will always hold a special place in my heart. So I'm glad you're there.
It is a special place. It is, isn't it? Yeah.
It really is. It's so special. Well, I'm so excited for this conversation. I said it a little bit in the prayer before this, but you're a huge inspiration to me and to so many people. And I just love what you're doing nowadays, and I can't wait to talk about some of the things. But before we get into everything and your story, I always ask everyone that comes on this podcast the same question, and that is, it's a big one, what is the best piece of advice you've ever been given? And I know that might sound like a lot, but it's a great way to get us started.
Well, probably the biggest influence on my entire life was my father. And very, very early in my life, he said to me, honey, find something you love to do and then figure out a way to get paid for it.
That's good.
And he was right because he understood that too many people settle for less than their life's purpose.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to do was make movies and make music and dance and perform. And those are the dreams that God had put in my heart, in my mother's womb, long before I was even formed in that dark place that Bible talks about in Psalms. And he was right. Because once I started just truly going down that path of what makes you feel the most alive. And I know that can sound not very spiritual, but the point of it is it's deeply spiritual.
Yeah.
Jehovah Elohim is God creator. And he created us to be co-creators with him.
Mm-hmm.
And when I am doing that, I am at my most God-like.
Mm-hmm.
When I am closest to the God that I serve and love, when I'm doing what he put me on this planet to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew it long before I knew it. I wrote a little book for children a few years ago called Hello, Little Dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about how don't take your dreams for granted. The ones you're dreaming since your childhood are there for a purpose. They're God-placed dreams.
Yeah.
And when we let other voices drown those dreams out and say, no, your father was a firefighter. Your grandfather was a firefighter. You need to be a firefighter. Well, I'm not my father or my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And God might have a very specific and original and unique plan for my life. I think we as parents, because we love our children so much and we're well-meaning, but we try to dream our children's dreams for them.
Yeah.
And that's getting in the way of the Holy Spirit's dreams for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And our children.
Yeah.
So I've been very careful as my children grew, and now I have my first little grandchild, and I won't be that kind of grandmother that does, you know, that. I won't do that because I find it unseemly and nobody cares. Hello,
we care. You got to do
just
it.
Kidding. You just gotta. Had to have a little joke to start out.
That's so good. I love that you're that grandmother. My mom would
do
this.
Actually, I'm truly not. I rarely post a picture. I'm just not that way. But anyway,
it's hilarious.
Yeah, I want that little guy's dreams to come true.
That's good.
The ones that God has placed in him, in his mother's womb before he was totally formed.
That's good.
Those dreams were there for God's purpose. And then I want to get out of the way of them, except to say, you know, sweetie Frankie, what do you want to do? Instead of what do you want to do when you grow up? That was the whole basis of that book. It was, I think we're asking our children the wrong things. What do you want to do when you grow up? We should be asking them, what do you think God has placed in your heart to do with your life?
That's good.
Make it about that relationship with God, his heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to have a lot of voices pulling on him.
Absolutely. That's such a good word. And I believe 100% that that was for somebody and is for somebody. And just so you know, full access to say anything that the Holy Spirit puts in your heart, because I believe so much in that is probably somebody's story that they're walking through right now that they
we have no idea
no I learned idea
that they all these years right
absolutely needed to hear
it. They've tuned in for a reason.
Yep.
You know, they're there. They're either watching us or listening to us or whatever they do. But God led them. The Holy Spirit led them there. So I tried right off the bat ahead of time to say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I know you're there. You're the God who sees, the God who knows, the God of the how and when, the God of the other side. You're Jehovah Rapha, you're Jehovah Elohim, you're Jehovah Roy. You're all those names that we call you, because you cannot be contained by just one concept.
Yeah.
But so I want to make room for him.
Yeah.
So the older I get, the less I try to get in his way. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That's so
good. I mean, you're 25. I'm almost three times your age. but things don't get easier.
Yeah.
They just become a little bit more clear.
Wow. That's good. Well, it's a privilege to learn from you. And I think that's why it's so awesome just to hear you talk and give so much wisdom, because I am younger than you, and to learn so many of these life lessons. I mean, even prepping for this podcast, getting to listen to so many things you've said and done has truly inspired me in so many ways. And so I'm so grateful people are getting to hear what God's speaking through you. I want to ask you, because just already off the bat, like the way that you talk about God, the names of God that you bring up, the scripture that comes to your mind. So you've had like a long, long career in the entertainment business. Like how long were you in the entertainment business?
I'm still in it. Started when I was 10 years old, and I'm in my 70th year of life. Just started. So
a really long time. So you've been in, you're currently still in the entertainment business. And I think a lot of times, like, people, and I experienced this. So when my family got a TV show, and especially whenever I was on Dancing with the Stars and going to Hollywood, people were like, oh, but you're a Christian and you're going to Hollywood and you're going on Dancing with the Stars. And it was almost just like as if it was a bad thing. But I was like, this is the best thing. Like, I get to be a light in the world. And you have been a light for so many years, and you've come, you know, you're still in the entertainment business, 70 years old. And
Well, not 70 yet. I just started my 70th year of life. Don't push it, Missy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said that. Your 70th year of life.
I just started my 70th year. I just turned 69. Give me a break.
Hey, we're not going to rush the process. You are 69. My grandma's 69 too, and I said something about her being 70, and she was like, excuse me, nope, not there yet.
I'll admit it when I get there, but I ain't there. I'm not there yet.
Hey, we're not rushing it. You're 69. And all that's coming out of you is so Jesus. And so what I want to ask you is, how do you, you know, live a life in the entertainment business or in a secular culture and not grow more dim, but actually come more alive in your faith? Because you certainly
have. You just said it without realizing the answer to that. Ever since I entered this industry in a full-time way, when I was 17 years old, the Lord was very, very clear with me. And he said, never separate the secular from the spiritual. You live in my world.
Yep.
You live in my world. People will try to say that's secular. He said, no. There's no, it's such a godless world there.
Y'all know I love a good story. I love hearing about a story, listening to a story, and there are so many unforgettable stories and characters out there, and Audible is here to help you discover all of them. Audible is the home of storytelling and lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one simple, convenient app. They offer an amazing selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries, business, and more. There's always something new to discover along with your old favorites. If you're a thrill seeker, Audible is the place for you. Their selection of mystery and thriller titles, plus highly anticipated new releases, will keep your heart racing month after month. And Audible's next listen recommendation means that there's always something that you'll love at your fingertips. Audible members get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and even podcasts. You can download or stream them wherever you would like. and whenever you would like. Plus, members can pick one title every month from the entire catalog to keep. With thousands of titles, you'll definitely find something you love all in one convenient app so that you can listen anywhere, anytime. So if you're into the whole crime mystery thing, my sister actually just told me about a title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And I gotta be honest, I'm not really into these kind of things because I get too scared too easily. And she was like, no, it will not scare you. You will love it. You'll be so into it. So I guess that's gonna be my next listen. So new members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or text woe, W-H-O-A to 500-500. That's audible, A-U-D-I-B-L-E .com/woe or just text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Go check it out, friends.
I'm not going to, God is everywhere.
Yep.
There might be people that don't know yet God and don't know that he loves them, but there's no godless place on this planet.
Yeah.
There's no godless place in this cosmos and all of creation. God, the creator, is everywhere.
Yeah.
And so I knew every time I walked on a movie set or on a television set or recording studio or a stage or a Baptist church or Israel or whatever, it was God's world.
It's good.
And I got the privilege of being in it and walking in it with Yeshua Jesus.
Yeah.
And he would be with me, whether I was talking to Jay Leno or I was talking to Billy Graham.
Yeah.
I had to be authentically child of God, Kathy Lee, wherever I went.
Yeah.
And when I started separating those two is the only time I ever got in trouble.
Wow.
You know,
Yeah.
No, God didn't create that world, not that one. He created all the world and we have come and perverted parts of it. But when Jesus said, go and get in the boat and go to the other side, meet me on the other side. This is one of the parts of the new movie that I have out now. And the new book, I have that for you too. I'll hold it up later.
Please
the
do.
God of the Way. The movie's called The Way and the book is called The God of the Way. And it's broken down into four oratorios. A lot of people have seen the third one called The God Who Sees that I did with my friend, beautiful, beautiful, godly woman. I love her so much. Nicole C. Mullen. If people haven't seen it, I really recommend they go on YouTube. Go to The God Who Sees.
It's really powerful.
It's an 11 and a half minute short film that I wrote with her and directed in Israel.
Wow.
It's had millions and millions of downloads since I put it out 3.5 years ago. But it's the story of Ruth, Hagar first, then Ruth, then David, and Mary Magdalene. All of their experiences in the desert. The first three about their literal desert experiences. The fourth one, the desert of being alone and broken, the sort of the wilderness experiences we go through when Mary Magdalene was at the cross and at the tomb. It's powerful. We knew when we wrote it, four blocks from here. We'd never met. We sat down and we started writing this song that has become this amazing thing. And we wrote that one. And then I wrote three more. And so, with different composer friends. And it's powerful. The God of the how and when is how the God of his promises, Sadie, how he makes promises to us. And we think that it's always just made promises to Abraham and Sarah. Mm-hmm. He made a promise to Moses. He made a promise. They're no different from us as followers in his world and in his path. And we need to learn from their experiences that every one of them had a promise made to him by God, but every one of them, it took a different amount of time for that promise to come true.
Yeah.
With look what Abraham and Sarah went through with having a child that would become, you know, so he could be the father of a nation, meaning the Jews that ultimately this Messiah would come from. And then the next one in our first, oratorio in the way called the God of the how and way, God of the how and when. Sorry, I get confused. Is about Moses. God's people had been held in slavery under Pharaoh for 400 years, but God had promised them that he would deliver them. So he goes to Moses. That took 400 years. And then it's Joshua. Joshua is called to lead the people into the promised land after 40 years.
Yeah.
In the desert, because they disobeyed. And then the final one was a more a profound promise through all of Scripture and all of the prophets that one day the Lord God would send the Messiah, the Savior of the world, to redeem it from its sin. And redeem all of humankind and bring us back to what I call in the movie and in the book, Beit Av. It's Hebrew for the Father's house. We all came from a garden, a beautiful garden. And it bothers me so much when people say, how could a loving God allow this to happen or this, this? I go, wait.
Yeah.
That was never our Father God's intention for anybody he created to live in that world.
Yeah.
We are the ones who screwed that up royally.
Yeah.
And we've been paying for it ever since. But he gave us a way out of it. He sent his only son, Jesus, to die for us, redeem us, and bring us back to the garden.
Bet-Av,
which is perfect. So don't let people, when people tell you that, everybody, just say, no, he didn't.
Yeah.
God knows exactly what's going on. He's there in the midst of everything, trying to get people's attention that he has the way out.
Yeah.
He has the way through. But it's not his will that people suffer.
Yeah.
It's not his will. It was our will battling against God's will in the garden that led to all of this.
Yeah.
And someday we will be redeemed in the new heaven and the new earth.
Yeah.
And it will all be redeemed.
It's good.
But until then, we have work to do.
Yeah.
We have work to do.
It's good.
We are supposed to be God's mouthpiece.
Mm-hmm.
We are supposed to be his heart. We are supposed to be his hands that serve. And we are supposed to be the sweet fragrance of Jesus everywhere we go.
Yeah.
So when you went and did, you know, Dancing with the Stars, and you're sweating up a storm, but you're there, you are expressing his love to people who just don't know yet that God loves them.
One thing that's really cool about your life that speaks so loudly is, you know, Jesus says to us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And he says, and love your neighbor as yourself. And one of the things that it's so clear in your life is how well you love people. And that is ministry. And that's what you did everywhere you went. And one of my favorite things is like hearing about your friendship with Regis and hearing about your friendship with Hoda. And I think so many people, like, they just even as Christians, you underestimate just the power of what it looks like to be in relationship with people and just to love people. Like, that is actually what we're called to do. And I think
Totally. Your
friendships with people and how you invest in people's life and how you don't speak bad about anyone says so much about how much you love God and is such a reflection of your heart for him. And I just feel like that is an example that we can all learn from. And I'm really grateful for that. That really sticks out about your life.
You know what I really believe, Sadie, at the end of my life or anybody else's, I don't think he's going to care how many Bible verses I memorized.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to care about how many hearts I shared his love with.
Yeah.
You know, what you were just quoting, I just got back from a trip to Israel. I've lost count of how many times I've gone. I go to study. I go to prepare for the next books and movies that I'm doing. I shoot there. It's become the rest of my life's purpose is to tell these epic stories of all these incredible people in the Bible who are just human like us, just human and needy and broken like us. And yet God used them for his purposes. And what we do every time we go on one of my rabbinical trips to Israel is we start out each morning in a circle with hands held, and we do exactly what you just said. I don't know if you know what you just did is called the Shema. Do you know that?
Mm-mm.
It's called the Shema. And it is way every Jewish person starts the day. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's called the Shema.
Wow.
They start it every single day, and we ended it at the end of at sunset every night when we finished our studies and broke bread together and poured wine and celebrated together the goodness of God, the love of God. We had the wine and the bread as if we were at the Last Supper with Jesus. It shouldn't be a day we set aside. It should be every moment of our life. When people go, what church do you go to? I never say anything. I say, I don't. I walk in the footsteps of my Jesus, my Savior. And wherever he leads me, I go. I don't go to any particular church because I don't believe church is in a building. I know that's very upsetting to a lot of people. I think we need fellowship and we need to be one with one another. And many times that happens in a building. And I rejoice in that. But I think sometimes our church can also become an idol.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, get in the boat. And I'm going to get back to that teaching before we're finished. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Get in the boat and meet me on the other side. When the Bible says that, it was a Paul and he talks about it. I think it's in, forgive me. He says, in him we live and move and have our very being. So when people say, what church do you go to? The world as we know it understands that to mean, where do you go to worship, right? Where do you go to get fed and all that stuff? And all that is important. So don't, I'm not minimizing it. But that the Bible says that's just supposed to be part of it.
Yeah.
And we're so quick to say, oh, I go to so-and-so Baptist, and I go to, and that's great. But that's not what church, the word is in Greek is ekklesia. And that was the Greek word for what was happening when Jesus died and was resurrected and ascended. The apostles went out and they started teaching resurrected Jesus and they became followers of the way. It wasn't called church till after Jesus was gone. It was called followers of the way.
That's cool.
And it became church later. But their church was in homes and in catacombs and not cathedrals. You know, they were persecuted and it was, I long for our church. And I mean that one in quotes, the one we in the West have come to think is where we're supposed to go for everything. I wish there could be a revival of understanding that in him we live and move and have our very being every moment of our day.
Yeah.
Not one day a week for 1 hour or 2 hours a week.
Yeah.
With the same people over and over and over again.
Yeah.
That's fine, but that should feed you to go into the world.
Yeah.
The world, the cosmos he first created.
Yeah.
We get too fat and sassy and lazy in our church pews.
Yeah.
We think if I just go, I'm a good Christian. If I just recite the prayers, if I bring friends that don't know Jesus, and then I send a check to wherever our, and I, you know, I support missionaries. It's all good stuff. Trust me, I'm not putting down any of it. I'm not, I've just lived long enough to see that that has become everything to people.
Yeah.
And I want them to understand it's deeper and bigger and larger than that. When Jesus said that to the disciples, get in the boat and meet me on the other side. In our Western understanding of scripture, because we take what was written for Middle Easterners by Middle Easterners, we take it with bad translations of the Bible and we try to apply it to our Western culture. And it doesn't fit. We have to understand studying the Bible needs to be studying it geopolitically and culturally at the time it was written. So when Jesus said, go to the other side, that was a specific place in Israel, in Galilee. It wasn't just the other side of the Sea of Galilee, although it was a place called the Decapolis that was full of demons, full of the worst bestiality, full of the, of pagan people who ran from the Hebrews when they first took over at the Promised Land. That's where they went and settled and continued their places. Decapolis means 10 villages. And if you go there, visit the Decapolis, you will see the ruins of their temples, all of them to pagan gods and to, where there was child, unbelievable, every evil manifestation you can imagine, child sacrifice, everything evil, everything opposite of what Jesus came to save us from. He said, go there. In other words, get out of your synagogue.
Yeah.
Long enough to go and meet the people that need me the most.
Yeah.
the ones that are dying because they don't know my message. They're dying because no one's going over there to tell them, I love them. Mm-hmm. So I'm not encouraging people to stop going to church.
Yeah.
By any means. I'm just trying to teach people that that's not where he wants it to end.
Yeah, it's good.
Go to church to be fed, to have fellowship. Then go where he leads you after that. And don't be afraid to get dirty.
Yeah.
Like he did mm-hmm. for him.
It's good. It's so good. I love this.
No, I feel like I lost you there.
You did not lose me. You did not lose me.
I saw you going, oh dear, we're losing people about church. Well, maybe we need to.
You did not lose me.
You sure? It's fine.
Let me tell you something. I was actually sitting here thinking, this is crazy that you're saying all this, because I just went on a tour with Passion Church, and we were going to college campuses, and my whole message was actually on not compartmentalizing your spiritual life and your personal life, and how your spiritual life is your personal life. Your spiritual life is everything in your life. I just did this whole message, and I was thinking about how I did this message on Peter and Jesus in the boat that day, when Jesus got in Peter's boat and he ended up teaching all those people at the lake of, I'm probably going to mispronounce it, but Gennesaret.
Everybody
might
does.
Have to
yeah.
tell me
it's,
how to
it's
say
the
that
Sea of Galilee.
Properly, just the Sea of Galilee. So he's teaching, and I talk about how it's so cool on this day because Jesus is teaching the people, and then he says to Peter, you know, put your net out into the deep for a catch. And I talk about how, like, so many of us, like, we expect Jesus to preach, but we don't expect him to want to fish with us. But he is not just in the spiritual moments. He's in the personal moments. He's in our every moment. So I just did this whole thing on this, and you're sitting here saying it in such a really beautiful way and a biblical way, talking about Israel. And I'm sitting here thinking, this is crazy, because I've just been thinking about this. I've just been talking about this. So if anything, you didn't lose me. I'm just sitting here thinking, this is crazy, because this has been what's on
my heart.
Then
I hope I was confirming. I just saw your mind go.
You were. No, I'm a thinker. I'm such a thinker.
Yeah, I can tell that. I love that. You know what I'm so happy for you for? And also, I'm more convinced that you're going to need prayer. Because you have wisdom beyond your years.
Hmm.
You have, for you to know at the age of 25 the difference between secular and spiritual, to know that it's all God's world, to know that you are called to it, to mm-hmm. be in it, not of it, but mm-hmm. that you are not to avoid it. You are to go directly into it.
Yeah.
So think about that story of when Jesus told the guys to get in the boat. He was telling them, go and do everything you've been told your entire life you're not allowed to do.
Hmm.
For a good Jew, back then in first century AD, mm-hmm. they were told if they went to the other side,
mm-hmm.
they would be cut off from all community, all fellowship for the rest. They'd be unclean, which is the worst thing you could be in the hmm. Jewish culture. Unclean. You'd have to, you know, they couldn't go to temple anymore. They couldn't go and do seders. They couldn't go for Sabbath. They couldn't, everything that was ritually, they had to be ritually pure in that culture in order to take part in it. And Jesus says, you're going to go there. You're going to go with me.
Hmm.
You're going to go with me, and you're going to become completely what you've been told all your life. You were not supposed to do, but I'm calling you to that. And so we're called today.
That's right.
Are we going to follow wherever he leads us?
Yeah.
I need to clear up one thing so people will say, what do you mean Jesus wasn't a carpenter? The Bible, if you're reading the King James Version, it says a carpenter. And it's stuck for all these centuries. King James, you know, commissioned a Bible. King James was one of the most evil people of his day.
Wow.
And I don't know what was in his heart to do it, but he wanted the Bible, you know, translated into English. Well, here's the thing. Because the people that translated it from the Greek in the New Testament into English, they'd never been to Israel. They'd never been to Israel, and they certainly didn't live during first century AD when Jesus was alive and walking the earth then. He's more alive than ever now, praise God, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They didn't realize that in first century AD, there was no buildable wood. There were small, they were called trees, but they were glorified bushes.
Wow.
The only trees that were tall were palm trees, and you certainly couldn't build anything from a palm tree.
Wow.
You could make a roof out of it or something. The only there were balsam trees. There were sycamore fig trees. There were orange trees and olive trees. But that you couldn't build anything that you could of substance.
Yeah.
Remember the Bible talks about how all the temple, everything was built by because they sent for, remember Hiram sent during the days of David and Solomon. Yeah. He sent down cedars of Lebanon.
Wow.
They were cut down in Lebanon, made into rafts, floated along the Via Maris, which is the ancient trade path along the Sea of Galilee, and then broken up in ancient Jaffa, most ancient port in the world. That's modern Tel Aviv, basically. They were broken up there, and then they were taken overland to these big, whether it was Herod's or somebody else's big, you know, construction sites.
Yeah, yeah.
It was all built with that kind of wood. So they, in their British minds, their English minds, they look up the word for it in the New Testament, what Joseph did and Jesus did until he was a rabbi when he was 30. And the word is tekton, T-E-K-T-O-N. And they go, oh, they knew Greek. So they go, oh, Greek. For tekton is architect slash builder.
Hmm.
And so in their minds, they go, oh, he was a carpenter like us.
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
Now, this is going to blow your mind if you don't know it. And you'll never look at scripture again the same way. I don't. Ever since I got this teaching on top of a mountain in Israel.
Wow.
Everybody in our group, our teacher, Ray Vanderlaan, said, what did Jesus do before he was a rabbi? Every one of us held up our hand. He said he was a carpenter. He goes, well, no, not really.
Hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, dear Lord, I'm stuck on a mountain for the next 10 days with a man who doesn't know the Bible. What am I going to do? He knew the Bible. Wow. I'm the one that didn't know the Bible.
Wow.
And it meant, think about it. If it means architect / founder, who was the architect of all of creation along with his Father and the Holy Spirit?
Jesus. Yeah.
And builder. Well, the only people that were building things of substance in first century AD, stonemasons.
Wow.
Jesus was a stonemason.
Wow.
So now when you read the scripture, upon this rock,
wow,
I will build my church, and let you who are without sin cast the first stone, and the stone that they discarded became the cornerstone.
Wow.
All of the imagery and the poetry, even in the Psalms about it, you just go, Jesus was a stonemason.
Wow. As soon as you said stone, I immediately thought of all the scripture that you started quoting, and I was like, whoa, that is crazy. And so, yeah, it gives you this hunger to want to learn and dive in and go back to Israel and see the Holy Land and let it come to life. And
study with people that teach you that way, not just the stories you learned in Sunday school.
Yeah.
You'll come back with wonderful pictures and wonderful memories, but you will not come back with a life-transforming message that makes you see scripture differently for the first time in your life.
Yeah. Gosh, this is so good. Well, I'm so excited for people to hear this podcast. I hate we're out of time, but I know people are going to learn so much in this hour. It is packed full of scripture. And you know what I love about how you said it? I think I lost you and you saw me thinking, is that for real? So whenever I'm with my mentors, I'll be with women that are older than me who are teaching me, and I've had them say to me, what are you thinking? Because they say, I can see you're thinking. And I'm like, sorry, I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to take this. And what's so funny, though, is no one on this podcast, I've done 100+ episodes. We've done this for 4+ years. I've never got lost in thought like that, because I'm interviewing, I'm listening, I'm, you know, bouncing off questions. But your teaching got me so lost in thought of, okay, what, wow, this is so good. This is so deep. What am I thinking about? What have I just read in scripture? What is this connected to? And so I got lost in the podcast. I got lost in the things you're teaching, and I'm excited for people to get to do that too. Somebody taught me before that, honey.
Believe me, I take no credit for anything. I'm so grateful. I believe God sent me to Israel all those years ago to start teaching, learning from these people, not so I could preach to anybody, mm-hmm. just so I could pass it on because it's life affirming. People can go to theway.com or Kathy Lee, just go on my website. You can get the movie, the DVD of the mm-hmm. film that way.
Cool.
It'll bless their hearts.
Awesome.
And it's with Danny Gokey and B.B. Winans.
Awesome.
And Lewis Yore are just unbelievable performances. And also, of course, my friend that I did God Who Sees with, the amazing, I'm just tired. Nicole C. Mullen. But also the book.
Show us the book.
This is a companion book to it.
Beautiful.
So the movie's called The Way, and the DVD, you can go to Gaither Music, all of the music. It's the Nashville Symphony Orchestra.
Beautiful.
With all the music. It's amazing music.
Beautiful.
The Way is the film. The God of the Way is a companion movie, book, so that when you watch the film, we go so much deeper with the same awesome. Rabbi that I wrote The Rock Road and Rabbi with, who's takes you 10 layers deeper into, you know,
love it.
Everything.
Study
rabbinically, everybody. Or if you even have, you're studying by yourself and you wonder, what does that word really mean?
Yeah.
Google, what does that mean in Greek?
What does
that mean in Hebrew? It will blow your mind.
It's good. Everybody go find out how to watch The Way. Go get the book. Go check out all the things Miss Kathy Lee has been up to, because it tells the story of the Bible in the most beautiful way. We are so thankful for you and so thankful for all of your good advice. And just God bless you and all your ministry and your family and your sweet grandbaby. So thankful for you.
Oh, I don't know who you're talking about.
Who?
What are you
this?
Talking about? You mean little Frankie?
I love little Frankie.
I pray God's great shalom over you and your family. Give my love to your folks and your family, honey.
Thank you so much.
The Lord bless you big time.
Thank you.
The Lord is one. Praise God.
Praise God.